But I mean, this one, this year's is objectively worse than the one last year.
Yeah.
Because if I were to come in last, I may need your help procuring certain pictures for that.
Yeah, artifact. I mean, I'll help you, but it is going to be potentially a very awkward couple of photographs.
Of course it's going to be awkward. It's not a good, it wouldn't be a good treat for everyone else in the league if they weren't weird.
Did they have to dress you up like a little baby?
No, it really is kind of up to their discretion.
So yes.
So yeah, potentially, very much potentially. We'll give the students more context here. I think you clapped me off on this one. Welcome back to Weepology Podcast, everybody. I am your nervous Nelly, Professor Ricky. I'm sweating over here.
And I'm Professor Ethan.
We were discussing how, for those of you who don't really give a shit about sports, me and Ethan are both in fantasy football leagues this year. One that we're in together, and we're actually the cream of the crop in that one.
Yeah,
I think you're winning by a pretty hefty margin.
But unfortunately, it seems like in both leagues that I'm in, every single one of my good players has just decided to like snap in half by the end of the year.
Absolutely, just yeah.
So I'm just like in serious trouble.
Oh God! So you think there's a chance that I just lost this week's one pretty handedly. I'm not really sure what happened there, but there's a chance.
I think I'm fucked.
You think you're like straight fucked?
In both leagues. And I was in first the entire season.
Oh, God, no. Oh, no. In the other one, I won it last year. And from hero to zero this year, I am at the absolute bottom of the barrel. The scummy barnacles at the very bottom. And in this league, we've had punishments for the last couple of years. And some of them have been pretty tame. We were talking about how last year was like 2 months of no drinking. So we're just like, oh no, we're gonna give you fiscal and personal and physical health for the next 8 weeks mandate. It's so terrible. Oh no.
I'm sorry, we're gonna clear up your skin for you.
We're gonna actually make your life indefinitely better on all fucking fronts, and we're gonna make you do it. But this year, this was actually my suggestion last year that I gave because I was like absolutely steamrolling the whole league. So the suggestion that I had gave
came
was
to bite you in the ass, huh?
It really honestly is kind of prophetic that I'm here now, that the loser will be featured in 12 embarrassing photos in a calendar, a physical calendar that the rest of the league will be given a copy of to enjoy the humiliation for the rest of the upcoming calendar year. And I don't know if you have you been in a league with other punishments before of any kind of nature, or are you just
no. So I've only played in one like money league, and the rest have all just been like for fun.
Okay,
which is great because I really don't like putting so much on the line that I like feel bad the next day.
See, I the league that I'm in, it's like a $50 buy-in. It's a very big pot if you manage to come out with something on top. But that's a legacy league. I've been in that one for like 6 years. So I usually do pretty good, but you know, I got to knock on wood in this one because I'm actually getting fucked. I've seen ones where you ever hear about the Waffle House punishment?
No.
So the loser of the league has to spend 12 straight hours sitting in a Waffle House. And for every waffle they can eat, they remove some go do an hour per waffle. Some go hardcore and do only a half hour per waffle. So you can house like 12 waffles in a straight row. And you get to leave if they do an hour per waffle, or you basically like can like scarf down 8 and then you have to wait another 4.
So like, I don't feel like that's that bad of one.
I don't think so either.
Because I feel like even just like eating slow and kind of chilling, you could easily last a couple hours in there.
Yeah, right. Pop on a movie, bring your iPad or something, right. And just kind of chill out. And everyone asks like, well, what are you doing? Like, sorry, punishment, fantasy football punishment. They probably understand, to be honest.
I bet the people would be like, so like, are you going to pay me or what?
Yeah, in 12 hours. I thought it was clear.
Yeah, I'll see you in about 8 hours for lunch.
Sharon,
honey.
Okay. Go get me another 3 waffles so I can get out of this bitch, man.
And ma'am, please put on your beard mask. Or please. Whatever those things are called.
I see those follicles peeking through. Don't get those haircles in my delicious waffles. So
that was not terrible, but I also could probably eat fuck up at least like 5 waffles.
Right. I think in a single sitting, I can fuck up 4 or 5 waffles and then just kind of let that marinate for maybe an hour or two. And then
get lunch.
Yeah, then get lunch, right. Imagine how unhinged it'd be if the waffles was the contingency and someone walks in an hour 7 and is like, how many waffles should we eat? Oh, none, but I had some serious hash browns. Like,
but I'll tell
what
you
the
what,
fuck?
I got a smothered and covered hash browns.
What do you mean that wasn't the challenge? What the fuck?
There was also some really good fucking double cheeseburgers.
But yeah, the other one that we did last year too with that abstinence is the person had to wear a daddy gold chain
that
necklace.
Is horrific.
We have pictures, and anyone who asks, you can't say it's a fantasy football situation. Like, you have to come up with a reason.
That
and
is
I think
so
he had to wear
bad.
He had to wear it for like 3 months.
That's so bad.
It was actually hilarious because
was it like longer chain so it's hidden most of the time, or was it like really short so it's pretty much visible at all times?
We're talking maybe like 3 links away from a choker.
Oh no.
And what we also did is we made him wear it starting in May, so he had to wear that shit all summer.
Okay.
Go to the pool. Daddy's laying out on the beach, I guess.
I don't know how you could realistically, like, there's really not a good answer for a daddy chain, I don't think.
That's the best part, is that some of the things...
Yeah, unless it was you.
I guess, see, isn't that... It's funny when it's not you. That's the point of punishment.
Right,
it's funny
but
when
right
it's not
now,
you.
You're about to get fucked.
No, I'm about to be Mr. January... Mr. February, Mr. insert month here. But you know what? No, I'm not. Because I'm not, it's not dead yet. The hope is still alive. The dream is not on fire yet. So here's the hoping. I need the Miami Dolphins to either eat shit or just not use Tyreek Hill. But now we're getting too far into football. That's too much. Different podcast. Before we continue, I did want to plug a little thing. I was on an episode with the Anime Brothers on their podcast recently at time of recording with the Anime Plummet guys as well over from the Anime Summit Network. And we did a coolest power tournament bracket. It was like 2.5 hours of unhinged weebs yelling at each other. I remember we even said no insulting people personally. And it only took like 15 minutes for someone to start calling someone else stupid. Like, it was great. It was perfect.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It was actually a super fun time. Go listen over there on the Anime Bros podcast. It was some seriously spirited debate. But speaking of debate, today we're bringing back an old segment because of the show that we're talking about. It's literally sparked quite the conversation in the community through various outlets deeming it a negatory on a certain question that we like to ask sometimes. Does it anime? The segment where we take things that feel anime adjacent or not explicitly anime on its face, and we decide if the show qualifies as anime in the space. But this is probably the most important one in recent memory, just because of the spark it's lit under the ass of the anime community. Ethan, what show are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about Scott Pilgrim Takes Off.
Yes, the 2023 show / anime question mark, headed up by a studio called Science Sorrow, which we'll get into a little bit later, but not just them. Quite a many very common household name of studios that Ethan will kind of give a little bit of light on later. But before we get into kind of the surrounding aspects of the show, first thoughts, I really enjoyed it, but it was very off the wall, very off the wall.
Yeah. So a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah.
So I actually listened to a different podcast entirely where
those exist. After I just plugged one or two.
So the podcast I was listening to was Comedy Bang Bang. And it happened to have the director of the original movie, Edgar Wright, on there.
Oh, cool. That's actually super awesome.
And so I got actually all of the background as to how this even came out, because he was just on there to plug this for that was coming out, right?
Oh, cool. Oh, he was doing like a media sweep kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So Edgar Wright has done Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes.
Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Hot Fuzz.
Ooh.
Yeah.
At World's End?
Yep.
Oh, fuck yeah.
At World's End. He's done Baby Driver.
He did Baby Driver. Yeah. No shit.
Like some really just like really good movies, good flicks.
He's like the walking live action version of Studio Trigger at this point, just doing really off the wall shit.
Yeah. So really like, I think what's, I read like what he was known for. It's like, very inventive, like movie techniques.
Yeah.
To like try to make them more almost like video gamey.
I believe that.
Right?
I can see, like, can
even
see
think
that.
About like Shaun of the Dead comedy, like was very like hit.
It was
fast.
Very staccato
fast,
editing,
right?
To get that humor in.
And
yeah.
If you watch the original movie of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, it's also got like all the little effects and shit like that in it. So he's very like interesting as far as a director. But what he was saying was really interesting. So when they did the original movie, they were talking to the guy who does the graphic novel or whatever, and they're like, hey, we want to do this as an anime. This was all the way back in 2011.
Oh, wow.
So
this was cooking a decade plus,
right,
ago.
So this was like not anime's big right now, I want to do an anime thing. This was, we wanted to do this as an anime that long ago. But what the guy who wrote it said is, okay, let me think about it, but I'm going to create like its own specific story just for the anime medium.
Sick. Okay.
So this is, of course, based in the universe of Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
But it is its own storyline directly for this anime.
That completely tracks, given when we get a little bit into plot, because I was wondering, the deviation was quite clever. So you're saying that this was a planned out extra source material from the original creator.
Like this would be like when Studio Trigger does an original animation.
Yeah.
They create their own story specifically for something and then they animate it and send it out there.
Love.
That's what
that.
Happened here is the guy who writes the graphic novel and also obviously the movie originally, he like directly made his own like storyboard for this story, obviously using his own characters and all that stuff from the original stuff. The other thing that was I found really funny is evidently they had a email chain with all the cast from the original movie,
like Sarah and Winfrey. Okay, yeah,
like
yeah.
all the people that went on to be big fucking stars, like Aubrey Plaza,
Chris
Michael
Evans,
Sarah, Chris Evans, yeah. All those guys and gals. They were all in this big email chain that apparently had like very little activity for the last 10 years. I think it was from like 2013.
So wait, did they reignite a decades old chain?
They literally said, hey, would you guys want to voice your characters in an anime in this chain from like 10 years ago?
That's sick.
And supposedly like they all answered like super fast, like over a weekend, like every one of them had answered yes, including Chris Evans was like not the last guy. He was like maybe the third guy, they said.
Holy shit, that's so cool.
But it was just kind of funny to get that like kind of inside look on like the how that all worked out. But did you notice what the director for the movie that they were filming in the show was called? What his name was?
Something Aaron or something like that?
It was Edgar Wrong.
It was Edgar Wrong. Oh my God, that's brilliant.
So that was pretty funny.
Holy shit. That went way over my head, but yeah.
Well, because you didn't, well, unless you had like
known
who the director's name was, that way you would never understand that.
That's so cool. I love that.
So yeah, just very interesting. And I think the debate of like, does it anime is going to come down to like preferences in this case, because like, I mean, they straight up made this to be an anime. There was at no point was this ever like even just a graphic novel.
Yeah, and I
this storyline, I mean.
So it had basically all of this work, all of this like preordained like effort from the source material being the original guy writing this kind of story with the explicit purpose of it being an anime.
Right.
Fascinating. That actually adds huge credence to something we're going to hit later in this episode.
What do you think of the art?
So at first people always think like they'll look at when evaluating a piece of work that like feels anime adjacent, there are some cardinal sins that more gatekeepy, maybe hardcore individuals will deem something Western cartoon versus anime. And I'm a bit in that camp. Like they call it the bean smile, where you like the Steven Universe, like rounded off smile, straight teeth, or kind of the lack of detail in the eyes, a very staple idea.
I was thinking, like, for me, the eyes are very, like, different from what you would expect from, like, a hardcore anime. It's almost more like a Timmy, what the fuck is that?
Fairly Odd Parents?
Yeah, Fairly Odd Parents X, like, Scissor Seven.
Yes, so at first I was like, okay, I see how the style of this would lean most of the hardcore anime vets to be like, this is Western cartoon up and down. But as I saw more of the character models, the line work, the way that they incorporated some proper Japanese sakuga techniques in a lot of these fight scenes, which were beautifully choreographed, by the way, I was getting more of a Fooly Cooly vibe. I gotta be honest, when you wrap the whole thing in, like, it's like a modernized, I can see a Fooly Cooly readaptation or a new story that was made out of the Fooly Cooly universe were done in this style, I can see it totally working. So while there are elements and design choices that I think were pulled from Western cartoon, for me, the entire package had the energy of an anime that was alternative anime that we've seen in the past, like a Fooly Cooly, like the blockier hand ideas and the way that the action flowed in a certain, like, off model, heavy colorized, heavy stylized. This is something you'd see in a Fooly Cooly. So at first I had a small dip, like, okay, is this anime? And then it immediately ramped back up. I'm like, yeah, the art style, I think, works here.
So the art style works super well. I do think that it is more of a, like, the way I kind of look at it is, it's like, you know how there's 2D animation, which you expect, but it also, it's so, let's say it's so artistic that it almost looks 3D.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's got depth to the drawing that's 2D, like, what, shading.
They use some kind of, you know, digital elements to artificially add blur, which I found the way they did the depth of field, which was very fascinating. They had very almost comic book Into the Spider-Verse kind of, like, line work where it would deviate up front if you're, like, near focused, and, like, blur out if you're out focused. I like the way they applied some of that computer effects on this. It added something to it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, though, this to me feels like more of that, like, Fairly Odd Parents, like, 2D.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there was not a crazy amount of, like, gradients on the skin and stuff, or, like, depth shadowing.
I was also getting, I don't know if you ever watched that, The Amazing Adventures of Gumball.
No, it has
the way that they blended some kind of, like, that really flat 2D with almost this, uncanny valley is the absolute wrong word, but it was like this almost insane depth of field at some parts where you were getting this really, they'd use dynamic 3D camera work and stuff. They had real textures at some point as well, that they were blending this flatness with this realism at times to create this very almost patchwork aesthetic that I think actually worked cohesively, oddly enough.
I mean, I think this was a gorgeous show. Yeah. It's just not, I think, what you expect typically when you go in watching, like, an anime. But what I will say is, I think that it probably is more faithful to, like, the graphic novel.
That's where my head was at.
And so it's almost like, what do you want him to do? Just, like, full on change his art style? He's drawing it. Like, he's still the same guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think they very easily, the studio that headed this up, and along with the studios that had a part to play here, all have chops and showings in the past where they keenly know how to make something look very traditionally anime. Like, there is undeniable that the talent behind this work, it's not that this is the style that they are known for, this is what they have, and they can't do anything else. This was a very deliberate design choice to kind of pay homage to the original graphic novel design. I think of it very much in, like, when Madhouse did, I think it was Madhouse or Bones, that did Mob Psycho 100, that really stuck to one's original webcomic style. They clearly know how to make a very traditional, clean-looking anime, but chose that style because it was an homage to the original creator and tried to really elevate that design. I think you're seeing something similar here. A lot of talent, but sticking to a very tight design profile that's unique to the original source material, which I respect that. I respect the idea of that.
Yeah, I think really it's just the art mainly that keeps it from feeling like directly like an anime in a lot of cases, because it's like very like almost Powderpuff Girly, kind of like the feet weren't all like very detailed. Like it just felt very much like a like I would say almost an upscaling and up like arting of like a
up-arting, yeah,
like a older TV show on Toonami that you would watch,
like a like, reclaimed wood coffee table. Clearly the wood looks like shit, but then you could sell it for way more because it's been spruced up in a way.
I guess I'm not fully on board
that
with
analogy
that,
was
will,
so tight. You're I'll, really throwing me under the reclaimed bus right now, okay, dude? But yeah, I hear you, and I think a lot of people in the space are like, if you know, it's one of those things that it's like, if it quacks like a duck and it swims like a duck, it's a duck. But if it doesn't do those things, can you really still call it a duck by pure visuals alone? And I think this is one of the poster children of the deviation from all of the visual trappings of anime. Is that in and of itself reason enough to pull it out of the bucket? Right, and hold it up and say, this, because of what I'm seeing, is not anime.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is kind of, this is always a frustrating question, I feel like, for me, because, like, the quote-unquote classification is literally just, like, did Japanese studios work on this a majority? And the answer would be, yeah?
It's not even a yeah, it's a yes, period. And I have some juicy shit on this iPad.
All right, juice it.
Yeah. Oh, I'll juice it in a little bit. I wanted to get to the idea that, like, I find this does it anime a little bit unique from the ones we did in our very distant past, where a lot of other non-anime, non-Japanese efforts did their damnedest to approach anime and the trappings to make it feel as close to anime as possible. Like, you know, you things you've done in the past have include like, you know, that Batman movie, Batman, what was the full name of that
Ninja.
One?
Ninja.
Batman Ninja.
God, that was such a good movie.
Right. It was fucking great. I mean, there's people that we've had debates on this, that things that are not by the staunchest definition, because it wasn't formulated and animated in Japan, took the time and effort to really give it all the love it can to approach anime from one end. Now, this is the exact opposite, where you have almost the entirety of the talent is Japanese and homegrown in Japan, but it's actually tackling a Western property with that same love and moving away from those traditional trappings. So if we're doing this kind of meeting in the middle and blending, does one direction, you know, we've always said, like, does it anime? We start with a no and come to a yes. This one almost feels like it starts to a yes, and we're kind of seeing if we can find our way to a no, because it's kind of coming from the other side, right? It's by definition, which we'll get to, anime. But when you look at it, you're like, can I, in good faith, look at this as a staunch anime fan, and it just doesn't have the feel? Does it not have the feel? It's a very weird experience when someone tells you, hey, let's go watch this anime, and you're looking like, what kind of fucking ass backwards Western cartoon are you showing me right now? And you're like, oh, hold on, give it a second. Wait for that Sakuga to hit.
So did you watch this in sub or dub?
I watched it in dub.
Good.
Because I felt like it had to be. I was looking at literally like the moment that first episode one and you saw the cast in dub. I'm like, that's the whole fucking OG movie. Switch.
I mean, instant. It might literally be the strongest anime cast of all time.
You have
the anime dub cast.
Michael
sure.
Cera, Brie Larson, Aubrey Plaza, Chris Evans, Ellie Wong. You have literally this star-studded cast and almost, I think, 95% of all of the, you have a Culkin. You have a fucking Culkin in this movie.
You have a Culkin.
Wally Weiss. Wally West.
Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah. You have everything. You have this huge star-studded cast, and they, like you said, like they all responded in a weekend, like, sign me the fuck up.
Right.
Like, please let me do this. So I employ you, if you go out and do watch this. By the way, 8 episodes, guys. It's literally 2.5 hours on single speed. I cracked a couple off at 1.5.
On double, it's very fast.
It's very fucking fast. So it was very, very fun. But
the music was incredible, by the way.
Holy shit. That also gave it that Fooly Cooly vibe, right? It was
right.
all our alt rock. Yeah.
So the guy, Edgar Wright, is also known for like contemporary music being put into his movies.
Shows.
Like, Baby Driver.
Baby Driver,
right?
Immediately, yeah.
And like rhythmically, like going with the sound and stuff like that. So, and then obviously, like the whole point of Scott Pilgrim in general is like he's in his like shitty band.
Right, shitty band. The original Scott Pilgrim versus the World. We'll give you a bit of a synopsis here because I think the debate isn't necessarily about the content of the show. We'll give it a rating, but like the overall arching thing is the original Scott Pilgrim versus the World is that, our boy, Scott Pilgrim, as is the title dictates, in the shitty band, decides to go to a party, meets a woman he's literally been seeing in his dreams named Ramona Flowers, the woman of and in his dreams. And turns out they hit it off. They want to start something for real, real. They wanted to find that relationship, baby. But uh-oh, Ramona's got a bit of a past problem. She has not one, not two, but seven exes. Evil exes, excuse me, who want to take Scott Pilgrim down, not just a peg, but 6 feet worth of pegs, if you get my drift, right into a fucking early dirt nap, to get Ramona back out of jealousy, out of revenge, out of whatever each of them. It's very video gamey, very anime in its own right from the original stuff. This take off, is that it follows that same beat until something happens. Instead, in the original, Scott defeats the first boyfriend, ex-boyfriend. In this one, he dies. This one, he is defeated. But turns out, it turns into a bit of a whodunit. Really kind of leans heavy on Ramona Flowers as the main character, trying to figure out who would want to fake Scott's death.
Very funny, though, I thought, that they would like come out with Scott Pilgrim anime, and then he's barely in it.
He fucking dies.
he's straight up only in 3 episodes.
You probably will. You don't necessarily need to watch Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It does help because it does play on this kind of parallel timeline situation. You get a bit of a time travel shtick to it. Not to give too many spoilers away, but I'll leave it at that.
I don't think you have to watch the original at all.
I was gonna say, you can still enjoy this without it, for sure.
100%. Yeah. And yeah. Like, the story is pretty self-explanatory.
Basically, yeah. It does help because they do reference kind of the original pathway of the first narrative.
I kind of wonder, like, who out there doesn't know anything about Scott Pilgrim. That'd be interesting to know.
It's actually pretty fascinating of how, like,
I thought it was like a cult success.
You wouldn't even think, right? But then, to your point, I messaged some other people in other Discords, like, hey, we're watching, you know, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. It's like, oh, the first one was fucking amazing. And this Discord is not anime adjacent whatsoever. I'm like, you guys watch it? It's like, watch it. I fucking love it. And I'm like, wait a minute. I knew it was a cult classic, kind of like a nerdy cult classic, but didn't realize how almost ubiquitous it is in a lot of people's.
Yeah, I think they got really lucky that Michael Cera was like also hot as fuck at the time. You know what I mean? Like,
he was
far
on the way
like
up. Yeah.
Right after Superbad.
Yeah, he was definitely on the up and up. Everyone knew Michael Cera's name from Superbad and stuff. Yeah.
Well, and from like Arrested Development. Like, he was just everywhere at the time. And so, like, I feel like people just ended up watching that as a result of all the other things. And it's so different, and I feel like kind of standalone. As far as like its own movie product, like, I don't honestly even to this day really think of many other movies that are like that.
That
like play on the like super visualization of like a video game life.
Yeah, I mean, you got Ready Player One. Just it takes a more obviously like straightforward tone with it. But I mean,
right? But that is, you are literally VRing.
Right. Exactly. This is. It literally leans on, and there's even the original, there's so much kind of suspension of disbelief. Like, you have to just believe that Scott Pilgrim is this insane fighter. You have to just believe that all of her exes have superpowers. You have to believe Ramona is that much of a giga chad to just like leave a trail of heartbreak in her past with all these guys who some grew up to be billionaires, others movie stars, others like just became nobodies. But she leaves this trail of emotional devastation in her wake.
You know, looking at Ramona from the movie, I believe it.
I fucking believe it, dude. That's
like Helena Troy.
she is the Helen of Troy. The idea of using video games in such a almost, it's like ham-fisted, but it knows it, you know? Like, it owns the hand. It does every little beat of, like, video game, from kapows to collecting coins to health, mana, and P-bars, like, everything, right?
Yeah, I'm not so sure what the... They really played with the money thing a lot, like the loot money. And, like, it never went anywhere, per se.
Did the original, like, that was kind of the, I don't know, their version of not like a power level, but like kind of your KD ratio, your win streak of like, this is, I've amassed this much from my
possible.
Wins.
I haven't watched it in such a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty fuzzy for me. It could be that way, but I don't know.
It just felt like kind of like an unnecessary additional. They could have like made it XP or anything.
They could have, yeah. However, I like the coin. The coin element actually did play a tiny role in the narrative, but a crucial but tiny role in the narrative to kind of show Scott's death, you know. And again, it
was funny as fuck. At his funeral, they literally just put
the three coins
in a like a wake, and it's like, okay,
that was all that's left of his body. And the funniest part too is like the again, suspension of disbelief, right? Is that people just in this world believed that they just got money when they murked somebody, like to see someone punch someone so hard they turn into like the equivalent of a Big Mac.
You punched him out of the fucking dimension.
Out of the dimension, and all that's left is like $2.10. And it's just like, instead of being like, oh my fucking God, I murdered someone and they became money, it was, I won. Yeah. I get to be with you now. Like, there's a suspension of disbelief in the way that a video game would do that. So I don't know. I love that whole like video game e bullshit is just kind of baked into the world, both in the original and in this take, and you really don't even bat an eye at it. It's just like, that's just part of the world. Sure, okay, why not?
Yeah, I do think that if you had not seen the original, that might be a little bit like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, right.
You know
right.
what I mean? But also, I think what's cool is, and Edgar had said this in the like show he was talking about, is like, this really lends itself to an anime kind of...
It already had all the beats.
Right.
Yeah.
To an anime medium. Like, the idea of it, like, mixing video game, mixing music, mixing, like, all these things, it really just worked really well, and they just had to make their own sort of, like, story for it, so that they could even double down on that aspect and make a direct story for this specific medium.
I mean, let's even break it down even further. Like, what? There's so many anime tropes from the original that is still here as well. You have an evil league of seven mysterious fighters with their own mysterious powers, each more powerful than the last. You have your waifu material right up top, Ramona Flowers. You have your childhood friend. You got Knives. That was her name's Knives Cho or Knives Chow,
Knives
or whatever.
Chow,
Knives
yeah.
Chow. And you had that element to it. You had the sidekick friend who's just kind of there to be a comedic element and make snide comments. But I like Wallace as an element in this show. He just didn't give a fuck. And
he was
just
pure chaos.
Pure chaotic neutral. Didn't give a fuck. And I loved him for that. And all the other powers were like really tongue in cheek. Turns out, the most powerful thing you can be in this world is a vegan.
Yeah.
Straight up. And if you lose your veganism, you lose your powers. I had a cheese plate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You owe me a bucket of butter. I mean, popcorn. So, I mean, and again, the show is funny. Like, it's clearly written with a lot of love and a lot of humor in it, that it never took itself so seriously. But the times it like just needed that little bit of serious like connective tissue, it landed. And it was, you know, very much a story with the motifs of just like confronting your past, like the original one was, and they what happens when you project yourself into the future and never really kind of let it go, right? Never really move on. And again, the motifs are light, you know, it's very simply rudimentary, but it's good. Yeah, it lands how it should be. Doesn't overstay its welcome. Imagine if this was like a 20 ep thing.
Yeah,
I think that would have been that would have not been great. It was very well paced. They knew they had 8 good eps, and by golly, they gave it to us. So it's a fun, short little ride.
I mean, even 12, I think, would have been, like, I don't know how you would have made this more, like, whodunit-y.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if this was more like Odd Taxi and you're like trying to figure something out, actually.
I think you, the only way I can imagine you make this a full single 12 core is that if you kind of stretch out that third act of the Scots, right? You can kind of push that out a little bit.
Or like, how do you make it more serious even? Because it is so video gamey.
That's part of it too. You the only thing you can really do, the only serious driving point,
I think
home,
you'd have to art it up like crazy.
You would have to art it up. I think the relationship between Ramona and Scott, like the original, was just like, even in the original, I almost think was less serious than this one, because they could reapproach that.
I mean,
whole,
they were borderline fucking on the first date, so
yeah, right. And fucking borderline fucking the movie set with Todd and Envy.
Yeah, that was so good.
Literally, like, they've known each other since childhood, and they have to be on the set of a movie together playing a movie of Scott's life, which it makes sense in context, I sincerely promise. And they literally like, hey, okay, in this scene, I think I just want to put a little, Todd put a little hand on the back of Envy. Like this, just immediately yeah. start making out, and they had to do 43 extra takes because they can't stay off of each other. Pretty fucking funny. But yeah, the writing was great. The characters were all very fun. None of them seemed to overstay their welcome. The ones that stayed more, that had plot relevance, then no one felt wasted, I'd say. But yeah. And when contrivances were needed, they were almost played for laughs. Like, oh, is time travel possible? Yeah, we can just make this robot punch its way out of the space-time continuum so it experiences its entire life all simultaneously. Child's play. And you're just kind of like, at this point, yeah, you're sure. Like,
yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, weirdly enough, that was just enough bullshit science for me to just say okay.
Right. That's a very good hand wave.
But yeah.
I mean, so this is an interesting show because there's not a lot of content really to talk about unless you want to get into spoilers with literally 8 eps.
Yeah, right. And you know what? I don't think we will. We won't get into spoilers. You should watch it. It literally is one of the smallest time commitments you
can
make.
I really fucking enjoyed this.
Oh, so fun.
Like, absolutely a joy.
So, yeah. And in the spirit of the main question, does it anime? Before I kind of get into how it kind of sparked a fire in the community, what are your thoughts? To you personally, does it anime?
I would say if I didn't know any of the background at all and I just watched this, I would not probably be like, oh, this is obviously an anime.
Okay.
But since I know that they literally made this to be an anime, it is hard for me to say no.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do. And the hard part is when in an era like 2023 and beyond, in the next couple of years, we're going to see this explode exponentially. But we've already have in the last 5 even, that the line between anime and non-anime have severely blurred. But the way we have learned, the ways they've blurred those lines can be different. There are some shows that were not made by Japanese studios that put a lot of TLC into making it look and feel as close to anime as possible, even some getting a certified Weebology check, right? This show, I think it blurs the line in such a way that if I were to shut my eyes and they just put another coat of paint and literally kept beat for beat, it's just the art that they've taken liberties on. Everything else about this, from the narrative, the characters, the over-the-top fight scenes and the way these characters portray themselves, is quintessentially anime.
Yeah.
So if they did everything but the art, then to me, this has to be, at first, a soft yes. But I did some digging, because I was doing a little research on Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, and it turns out that our good buddies over at MAL, My Anime List, had caused quite a stir because they believe that the answer to does it anime is a hard and fast no. They have deemed this not an anime, and they have doubled down on this take. They have exactly deemed this not an anime because it apparently does not meet the 4 criteria that they have specifically outlined time and time again on MAL's website for what is an anime. And I quote, number 1, it's animated. No shit. Number 2, it is created by professional staff in Japan for the Japanese market. We'll get to that in a sec. Number three, it was meant to be an animated work. I don't know what the fuck that means, but okay. And number four, it is not an edit, cut, or promo of another already animated work. So like a live action or a static form, like a manga or a manhwa turned into motion animation. That would classify in this point. This lit an absolute shitstorm under the community's ass, because they're like, excuse me? What the fuck did you just say, Mal? Because I believe that there are severely, severely overrated or celebrated shows that do not meet this criteria, or meet them less so than Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, that have been and beloved inside of your database, inside of your compendium of anime.
Compendium?
Fuck yeah, compendium.
Holy shit.
Absolute.
He's reading books, folks.
I am, finally. basically the piece, people were trying to focus on, were clapping back and saying, like, this is bullshit. They doubled down, and their main assertion is that it, quote unquote, wasn't made for the Japanese market, and that it was headed up by a non-Japanese leadership. Now, you said off mic that the head studio, Science Sorrow, which I'll get into in a second, wasn't the only one to work on this show. What other studios did you see that may or may not be Japanese origin?
Well, WIT Studios involved.
Oh, weird. That's so crazy. WIT Studios, a celebrated anime studio for decades now, continue.
I think there was White Fox as well.
White Fox? You don't say, White Fox. It's so crazy. Another very well-established anime studio.
I feel like maybe even a little Trigger or something.
Oh my god, a little Trigger.
Yeah.
The ones who created Kill la Kill, the one to save anime? So crazy. Fuck you, Mal. And I'm not done fucking you yet. We still got 20 more minutes of this shit.
Yeah, so I think what's crazy about those criteria is like made for the Japanese audience is kind of silly. But also in this case, they do have an entire cast of Japanese voice actors for that express purpose. I think the only issue is it's set in Toronto, so probably you would think that like Japanese people are going to struggle to relate, but like
Great Pretender took place all over the fucking world. Black Lagoon, all over the fucking world.
No, I know, but I'm saying like, shouldn't I feel like it's hard to relate to anything set in Japan then?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I want to hit some of these points. I want to educate the students, and I want to get your take on this, Ethan. Were their main points, like I had mentioned, meant for a Japanese, not meant explicitly for the Japanese market, and that some of the core components of the show were created or headed up by non-Japanese individuals. We'll start with the second one first. That the list that they had called off was examples of leadership roles would be the handling of director, of script, of storyboard, and of character design. Of these four, the scripts is credited to non-Japanese staff, namely the series' original creator, Brian Lee O'Malley, and screenwriter Ben David Grebinski. That's of those four things, the only ones that cannot be considered Japanese staff. So,
yeah, I'm pretty sure Edgar had said that the director of this anime was straight up a Japanese animator, like animation guy.
Yes. But I didn't stop there. I went and looked at Science Saru's entire fucking staff list. Every single individual in that company is of Japanese origin or has worked in Japan or was born in Japan. Basically, like, you know, they are certified Nippon up and down, except for one key player, the director.
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff fucking Bridges.
Weirdly.
What a weird twist.
Weirdly.
From True Grit to Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. So weird, dude. But no, his name is Abel Gongora. He is a Spanish animator, actually. He originally worked at European studios around the mid-aughts, I would say. But he moved his entire company or the subsidiary, the Japanese subsidiary of a French animation studio, Ankama, and he relocated himself and 25 European animators to the Tokyo studio to work with a team of Japanese artists. He himself has been in Japan for well over a decade, And then he decided in 2013 to found Science Saru. And he basically, I don't think he started it, but he then headed up kind of the help with its creation. And some of the works of...
Yeah, I don't think that counts.
Okay, okay. So
I'm totally joking.
I know. If you think that doesn't count, then maybe things like Ping Pong the Animation shouldn't count.
You're correct.
The Space Dandy shouldn't count.
Never heard of it.
Okay, KO, Let's Be Heroes shouldn't count. Devilman Crybaby? Nah, that one shouldn't be there either. Keep Your Hands Off Izukin? Oh, I guess that shouldn't count either.
Because it's Korean? Why? Because it's Korean?
No, these are all stuff that he did. He either worked as a leadership role on all of these shows, or Science Saru themselves had a hand, big hand, in all of these shows. Literally, Japanese Sinks 2020. Star Wars Visions, two of the episodes there, and Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. So this guy knows what the fuck he's doing. He's been living in Japan for over a decade. He has, like, he's a director at a studio that's had hands in some of the most acclaimed animation-wise, or even some nearly winning anime of the fucking year. Okay, so this is this guy's rap sheet, okay? And other stuff that he's done is well placed in Mal's database of stuff. So let's chill it with the whole, oh, they're not Japanese staff. I'm like, the screenwriter, sure, okay. You know, this is a bullshit argument when we have basically everyone else is Japanese from a studio that is based in Japan. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how Mal can really get off saying that. It might just be like the current climate of the world is like everybody has to have an opinion on everything.
Yeah.
And like, but as a company who your entire fucking job is to just like
be like the repertoire of
just
all.
Host all like anime related content as like a scoring, like it's not even a place where you can watch it,
right? And if you go right now, if you look up MAL Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, you'll get links in Google, but it'll hit 404 not found. It's literally just not there. So we talked about that.
So is what you're saying that you think we should arsonize the MAL offices?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I am.
I don't agree.
For legal reasons, that is absolutely a joke. That is not us. So that covers that second point. This has more Japanese talent in shows, in some of the shows that have made it in the past, and Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, than some of the other stuff that are currently inside, like after the last fucking Airbender. Korean. It is all completely animated in Korea. So, okay, that's anime now, I guess. Completely hypocritical. Speaking of hypocritical bullshit, the Japanese market point. I'm like, okay. I can kind of see that. We got a lot of stuff that was animated as well that have been almost exclusively for a Western audience that was animated in Japan. Fine. But if you're going to disqualify stuff on that basis, what about Afro Samurai? What about The Animatrix or Batman Gotham Knight, which are all in the database as of right now? If you want,
it does feel like a really weird show to like, this is the one where we're gonna die on our fucking hill for it.
That's part of it too. Like Afro Samurai, it was a passion project starring and executive produced by Samuel Jackson. There was never a Japanese dub ever made for that show, ever.
Damn right.
This show,
it's all them snakes on the goddamn plane.
This show has I'd watch a little bit of sub just to get the vibe. Great sub. Very star-studded Japanese voice acting. But again, the dub is just that much better because they're fucking their OG cast of source material.
They're fucking superstar
power
actress and actors.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
damn it.
And with Space Dandy, the beloved by many,
not me, but yes.
Lukewarmed by Ethan. Lukewarmed by Ethan.
God, people, that is still the funniest thing we ever got. You guys are so fucking like unintellectual because you don't understand how amazing Space Dandy is. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yo, Space Dandy is fucking amazing, and that's a hill I'll die on.
Yeah.
He's a dandy guy in space. What more do I need to say? But Space Dandy, funny enough, Same in it's in Mao, made by the same director had a hand in it, and his partner, some fella he worked with very closely. I wish I kind of had the name on deck, but Masaki Yuasa. Oh wow, that's actually a shockingly hard Japanese name to say. A lot of vowels in that one. Was his partner for a long time and helped him with a lot of this stuff, and he had a hand in that as well. Not only is that in Mao, but people might forget that the series premiered in English, in America, on Toonami, all before ever airing in Japan.
That's right.
Ever.
We just talked about this
exactly.
Recently.
And in my notes, I'm like, wait a minute, Space Dandy, we just talked about how it was basically made America first, and it is not just living in Mao, it is extremely highly rated. So where this hypocrisy is kind of apparent and abhorrent, frankly. But like,
what about I wonder if that Godzilla anime is on there, like all those ones that were like very clearly like Netflix exclusive kind of thing,
right?
What about Altered Carbon?
Oh, that the anime Altered Carbon,
right,
that they came out with after. I, you know what?
Because it wouldn't meet their criteria that it was like a regular live action movie first and can't be an anime. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the Animatrix was a movie before, and it was based on the world of the Matrix, which was live action.
I just wonder if based on the world doesn't quite.
Oh, it's not a direct like adaptation.
I'm not sure. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah,
it does feel like Mao's four criteria are a little bit wishy-washy on a lot of and there it is
Altered Carbon resleeved. The Netflix, what they, I think they call them DAs, digital animations or something like that, or on ODAs, online digital,
yes,
animations.
That's right.
That made it on here. I'm staring at it right now, and it's bad. 6.42, it's bad, but I don't know. It brings up an interesting conversation of the people that are.
Well, what do you think they're gaining out of like making a stand on this specifically?
My thought on this is that they feel that they have some kind of right or credence to draw a line in the sand, and I, you know what?
But that may or may not be true. Why do it for this one?
Because they feel that they maybe from the aesthetic standpoint that this is an easy line to draw.
Is that Chowder show on Mal? You know what I mean? Like,
is Chowder an anime? That's the next thing we should do, dude.
Because it's like kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's obviously done by mostly Japanese people. It's just, I wonder if maybe they like don't like Michael Cera or something. It's like the guys who run Mal just like have a problem with Michael Cera. It probably isn't.
No, but there is a person named Chowder on my anime list. So shout out to you, Chowder. I don't know. I actually don't like the precedent that this is setting. I think that's what people are getting upset about here, is that these companies, these websites that are acting as the
arbiters,
the repository for anime, is deciding what should or should not be on there. It's conflicting to me because I think that there needs to be some element of that, right? Like, I think there needs to be some decision-making process. Like, no, Fairly Odd Parents and SpongeBob should not make its way into Mao. But I don't know. It's like, I think I would be... Yes?
We could just stop being assholes and just put everything that's animated on the website and let the gods decide.
By gods, you mean everyone who's trying to make sure that FMA stays at the very fucking
exactly.
top? I mean, and which Frieren and Beyond Journey's End clapped it out. I wonder if they un reverse that one. I'll check that too. But in the end, it's a conflicting message here because, I mean, in my opinion, I think that there needs to be some things are yes, some things are no. I think there is a philosophy argument to be made that yes, everything that is animated could make its way to Mal, could make its way to the repository, and then let the people, the community, decide what is or is not. However, I don't like that they are basically outlining these points that they have time and time again had these like four pillars, and they like will basically betray them in favor for some shows while others get closer but don't make the chopping block, or make it to the chopping block, I guess. They just can't, they don't get to get into the gates of heaven, of Mal Heaven, and be remembered forever as an anime,
right? Is this the only show that they've ever not put on there?
Oh, absolutely not, I imagine. But what I think is happening here is that everyone noticed that the criteria that they set forth for anime is, for better or worse, a pretty fair baseline. But Scott Pilgrim Takes Off meets this criteria way, way more than some of the others that have made it by the same logic. They said it's not for a Japanese market. Well, it's not just cherry picking. You're picking some of the most beloved shows in a lot of people's lineups that do not meet that criteria by any stretch of the imagination, but still are there. So if the criteria that Mal set forth are not being followed for some,
I feel like anything like maybe even a Super Crooks is more for like the American superhero loving, you know, part of the world. Like comic books were born here as far as like superheroes.
Yeah, for
whether
sure.
People want to say like, oh, well, manga was there. You know, well, I think superheroes kind of do their shit, man.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of part of it, right? Is that if they are the ones that get to decide what is or is not an anime, and they're doing so by betraying their own rubric that they had set out to do, where the hypocrisy is kind of catching up to them a little bit, because now people are seeing kind of the cracks. And in a world where these things are blending more than ever, which I think as an anime fan, you should want this to happen.
Also,
right?
I do think it's crazy because there is a lot of those Chinese anime on the website. And it's like, so what the fuck is your criteria for this?
Right, right. And it's made by an entirely Japanese staff. It would take you not very long at all to find an entire two hands worth of examples where it doesn't fit criteria two, that is made primarily, not even predominantly, by a Japanese staff, right? And yet here we are talking about one, a show that it doesn't look like a traditional anime, but by every metric, it is, in fact, following the guidelines that Mal, quote unquote, stick to more so than some of these beloved classics. And I think that's why the community's riled up.
Yeah, I mean,
one.
I think it's genuinely just so unfair. I think WB Animation does better animation than like a lot of Japanese studios.
I mean,
so it's like really unfair to be like, they can't be counted as anime just because it's not in Japan. Like, I bet you they have a sub studio in Japan, bitch.
Yeah, right. I bet you can pluck the best of like a WB and then the best of like a Silverlink and head to head them, yeah, and who has better animation. And there's someone in the Discord right now immediately hearing that, like, oh, motherfucker, I'm going to light you up in the Discord. But,
well, you're wrong.
Well, you're wrong. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, I think if you wanted to do it, it could literally all come down to art style. But then it's like, it's so subjective. Like, some people are doing stuff with their art. You know what I mean? Like, I always go back to the Batman Ninja, where they like switch to watercolor as like a basically a tonal and art shift.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you should be allowed to do that kind of shit if you want to. Like, why not just make it animation related? Like, the website, have everything animated on there. I mean, you've already got Avatar, you little fucking dweebs.
Yeah, right. And I would love to see a system where basically you can rank the show, everything animated goes on there, but the community gets to decide anime, not anime.
That would be fun.
If literally it's like a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
And it's not like even a negative. It's just like it gets slotted in a different bucket, but it's still part of the compendium of animation, which is great. That'd be awesome. Let the community decide.
I guess we're going to have to make myanimationlist.com.
Myanimationlist.com. We'll call it mail.
Yeah, that's funny.
My actual animation list. Mail.
Something like that.
We'll workshop that. But yeah, at the end of the day, I, you know what? I'll give this a light rating. I'm going to give it a 79, maybe an 80. It was good. I would argue it's approaching great. It's not very, it's very quick. It's very fun. It's not going to be something that I'm going to be remembering for a long time. Like I'm caught up on Frerin and I will remember that show for a very long time. Very big impact for me. That's why it's living in like the 90s. Like we gave it last week. Go listen to that. But, I don't know. I'm going to give it a 79. I don't know if it's quite breaching the 80s for me as like a stellar great, but it is extremely solid. It's extremely fun. And you're going to get a couple good laughs and a couple good fights. Got to be honest. Science Star really, really full scented.
I'm going 85. I had a blast. Woo. I really enjoyed it. I think the music was incredible. It was fun.
Oh, you know what?
They had a Japanese literally theme song like fuck off, Mal.
I'm going to give it an 80. Yeah. Okay. The music tipped it. I got to remember the music was fucking incredible. And you know what? That OP, I did watch it the first two times and yeah. It's better than some of the fucking OPs you get in traditional anime.
Exactly.
Mal. God damn it. But you know what? Thank you for coming to class. Do you guys think that Scott Pilgrim Takes Off is or is not anime? Jump into the Discord, patreon.com/ubology. $1 up gets you in there with all of our past guests and the lovely Patreon folk. You can go in there and also talk to Anime Bros and Anime Plummet about how I did a great or not so great job on the coolest Power tournament arc.
And I don't know if you saw, but I guess JD is now leaving the Anime Bros. So
yes, and you know, I think it's he's got the baby. He's got a baby.
Oh,
on
that's
the way.
What it was. Okay,
yeah. and a new re-emerging World of Warcraft addiction.
Oh no.
Oh yes, he's going classic too. None of he's going raw.
Well, I guess you know the podcast was fun while it lasted, huh?
Yeah, but yeah,
we'll miss you, man. You're the bomb.
You're the bomb. Thank you for producing all that.
Fun every time.
All that content. You're always welcome back here. If you're ever feeling like you need a quick one off to get your podcast chops dusted off, you can come on over here.
Absolutely,
we'll always have you on. But yeah, Discord. Come tell me if it's anime or not. Do that.
Just to be clear, you say yes or no.
I say yes. It is softer than something we have seen in the past, but I think by all merit, it does classify.
Okay, let's say 100% is yes to the max.
Okay.
0% is no to the max. Give me a range. 50-50 would be right down the fucking middle. Or 50 would be, I mean.
I'm going to give it a 75.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is, like I said.
It's leaning anime.
The yes.
Well, I guess it is anime.
It's just, it's a soft. It's
mid-lean.
Soft. Is the liberties of the art very, very forward? Yes. But I think we all, as new age anime fans, you can be an old vet all day, but you have to accept the fact that anime as a concept, the lines are boring. And it's one of those things, you know, when you see it, it's a feel thing. But that's going to be a subjective thing as well. I mean, you know, some people idealize the art trappings, the art style. And if that's it for you, and then this show is probably going to not be anime for you. If it's more of the tropes, if it's more of the narrative style, if it's more of the way that the characters are presented and the fights and all that, then yeah.
I just think it's very important to remember this is an anime based off of a Toronto fucking graphic novel. It's different art style just from whoever made it initially.
Right, yeah. And if again, I would also argue that, like, again, I brought up Mob Psycho, and I think it's a great example that it, by itself, is a pretty unorthodox style for what would be considered an anime in the spirit of the original creator's design ideology. So if you want to go like, oh, the art's weird, you can fuck Odd Taxi.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, there's so many examples that are like squarely classified as anime that really take some liberties in art just because of the setting is Toronto, Canada does not necessarily shouldn't be put down because the art's different.
Also, weird art. I mean, Nichijou is a well respected show and it's fucking weird looking.
It's fucking great looking.
Shut up.
No business looking as good as it does.
Whatever.
I love it. Yeah, anywhere you would listen to podcasts, we're still in peaceful time, but you know, hey, after the holidays are done, I might motherfucking turn, I would ratchet back to Angry Rick. You don't know what's happening in 2024.
He's going war version.
I'm cooking it up right now, all this anger in my gut, but for now.
You're looking good, man. Thanks. Nice little haircut.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You're looking solid.
We're working on that weight loss. I've been literally just sucking down all the content that I can on it.
Okay.
And it's working. It's working. And if I don't completely go on
a bender.
Avoid bender, which I've been known to do from time to time.
I think we all go on benders every now and then.
What the fuck are we talking about? Oh, right. Podcast plugs. over and down. You're on a platform. I know you guys are. Over 230-odd something episodes and hours of content. Go find something you like. We've probably talked about something similar. If you want to say hi, find anywhere you can contact us, or just peruse a little bit of the merch. Weebology.com has everything you need all in one place. Real convenient. Just for you. Because I'm thinking of you, Tyler. That's going to freak somebody out. I don't know exactly who.
Tyler from the UK.
Tyler from the UK.
I wonder how many Tylers are in the UK. That's a very not UK name.
There's probably more than three.
Yeah,
you think it's a safe assumption?
I honestly don't know. It, for some reason, that feels like not a fucking UK name.
I'm going to text my...
Oi, Tyler.
I'm going to text the girlfriend at like 1 a.m, like, sorry, babe, I thought I was editing, but then I started looking up how many Tylers were in the UK. But until I can get an exact numbers of Tylers in the United Kingdom, I'm Ricky.
And I'm Tyler. Oh, this shit, has been not Weebology. Again.
Shoot. Deuces. Oh, well, we know there's one Tyler in the US now.
Oh, damn.
Only thousands more to count.